Good morning. Today's reading comes from Luke 7, verse 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all of the surrounding country. Bless the reading and the hearing.
When you think about it, this is a very dramatic scene. A funeral procession halted, and the trip to the cemetery interrupted. Of course, it was not anything like today, with a hearse followed by maybe two or three limousines, followed perhaps by several cars to maybe 20 or 30 or 40 cars, lights on, everyone concerned that they will not lose their place in the procession line. No, this scene was at once primitive and personal. No traffic lights to contend with in this procession. No motors disturbed that they were delayed a few minutes for the funeral. No, this is a village scene, people on foot following the widowed mother who is following the professional mourners with their cymbals and flutes and high-pitched wailing and shrieking. It's a Palestinian village, just a short distance from Jesus' hometown and a day's walk from Capernaum. The pallbearers are carrying the body of a young man in a long wicker basket covered by a shroud for burial, which would take place outside the city. Ancient Jews normally buried their dead outside the city, usually on the day of death or the next day. Think about it for a moment. The dead man was the only son of the mother, who is a widow. This mother, because of society, was vulnerable, weak, and without much opportunity for economic support. A great crowd is following the procession, indicating sympathy and support for her. And Jesus approaches, apparently coming from Capernaum, where, as we talked about last week, he just healed the Roman centurion's slave. He saw the widowed, mourning mother, had compassion for her, maybe thinking at this time about his own mother and his love for her. And he goes up and he says, "Do not weep," he told her. And risking ceremonial impurity, because you're not supposed to touch any of this, especially the body, he reached out and touched the bier of beer, the casket's frame, and possibly the body, and the procession halted. Can you see this happening in a modern setting today? Someone halting the hearse, opening the door of the limousine, telling the widowed woman not to weep, and then saying, "Young man, I say to you, arise." We would be ready to be on our cell phones dialing 911. Please come. Startling enough, in first century Palestine, which had a tradition of miracles, Jesus was not the first to raise a widow's son. Elijah and Elisha both did it. And the young man sat up and began to speak, and like Elijah and Elisha before Jesus, the new great prophet gave the son back to his mother, alive and well. Talking about rising above discouragement. Talk about overcoming life's defeats. This was it. No greater defeat than that. Jesus raising the young man from the dead. What a wonderful thing to happen. He didn't raise everybody physically from the dead. And he didn't heal everybody. And he doesn't heal everyone even today. But what he did do and still does today is to help everyone rise above the discouragements that come to each of us at times in our lives. So how do we rise above discouragement? For one thing, we do not deny the reality of our situation. Biblical scholar William Barclay says, "We live in a world of broken hearts. Any daily newspaper accounts tragic story and story of premature deaths and fractured relationships and broken dreams. But we do not turn to any newspaper for accounting of the world's troubles and the world's sorrows. We have only to look at our friends, our neighbors, our families, even within our own self. Jesus, the healer and power giver, never insulated or insulted people by telling them that their problems were not real. He never told the sick they were not really sick or that their illness did not have any pain or reality to it. He didn't say, "Ma'am, sir, this is just in your mind." He never told people that death was not real. In the Midwest, where tornadoes are frequent, a young son had a great fear of storms, as many people do. One day when a thunderstorm and strong storm threatened, the father took his son to the window and said, "Look out, see all these very substantial homes," and said to the boy, "There you see, everything is okay. They are solid homes. We're all safe and dry in our houses." About that time, a tornado touched down a block away and utterly destroyed several of these substantial homes. The storms of the natural world are real. Trouble and tragedy are real. Evil and death are real. Jesus never said to the disciples of the stormy Sea of Galilee, "There is no storm. The storm's just in your mind." Instead, he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." He took control of the situation. So I ask you this morning, are you worried about your job? Are your financial resources dwindling? Do you have a serious illness? Is your marriage in trouble? Is there a real problem with the children? Are you in debt? Are you grieving? The widow never said her son wasn't dead. Admit the problems. We always have to do that. Don't deny them. That's the first step in overcoming discouragement. You have to face it. So how do we rise above discouragement? We have to have courage to consider the alternatives for the situation that we find ourselves in. A man is about to lose his job due to large layoffs in his company. He has two cars, a large mortgage, kids in school and one in college, a typical American family. The tough job market is going through a really difficult time, but his company offers him an outplacement job in a different city. But the city is not appealing to him, so he turns it down. When he does that, he's faced with probable personal bankruptcy. He's greatly discouraged, but in large measure because he refused to consider alternatives that would help him. We see this over and over again. People come to a dead end in a marriage or a job or self-understanding and then refuse to consider the alternatives. They want the future to be just like the past when they felt that it was good. They're afraid of adjustment. They're afraid, terrified of any change in their lives. But it was Jesus who told the sick, "Have faith, stand up and walk." It was Jesus who said to the blind man, "Do you want to see?" It was Jesus who said, "Take up your cross and follow me." It was Jesus who said, "If you have faith, you can move mountains." You want to rise above discouragement? Then let go of the past and the corners that you have painted yourself into and consider the alternatives, because Christ is ready to show you a new direction, a new path that you can go down. So how do we rise above discouragement? We must allow ourselves to be touched by Christ. I mean, when I say touched, I want us to be really enveloped by Christ, not something on the fringe, but a full relationship with the Lord Jesus. By the transcendent, by the divine reality, the creator of heaven and earth, which is greater than ourselves. One of the surest ways to discouragement is to assume that all reality begins and ends with you and everything is about you. When people become discouraged, they allow their own world and self-understanding to collapse in around them. They get caught in the grip of doubt and refuse to even to question the doubts that they have in their mind. They refuse to question their own stale definitions of self and reality. In contrast to this, Jesus calls us to open up in divine prayer and humility to Him. I've often quoted Harry Emerson Fosdick, and I didn't know this until this sermon. He was the famous preacher of Riverside Church, New York. And he was called to pastor and build that big church back up, which had started dwindling. And it was controlled, really, by, and the money was the Rockefeller family and fortune. And Fosdick eventually had a nervous breakdown. It was, said Fosdick, the most terrifying wilderness I had ever traveled through. I dreadfully wanted to commit suicide, but instead made some of the most vital discoveries of my life. My little book, The Meaning of Prayer, would never have been written without that breakdown. I really found God in the desert. We're forever learning that God is for us, not against us. It is we who are often against our own selves and our myopia, just straightforward, not able to look around. Our rigidity, our fear, our arrogance, our stubbornness. Many of us, it seems, are slow learners. We refuse to allow God to touch us with any new idea, the new self-understanding, the new job, the new opportunity, the new vital power that Jesus has to give to us. It was Isaiah the prophet who put it so well. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It was the divine power who spoke to the dead young man. The power of the living Christ raises people up from discouragement, up from despondency, up from despair, and even up from death itself. The Bible and books of the world and many church people, many of you here today, are full of stories of how God helped them and helps people rise above the discouragements of this life. And as Jesus said to the young man long ago in Nain, so he would say to each of us today, arise. May God bless you. Amen.